So before I begin, I just want to say how grateful I am that the choir is back. Truly, your all's voices are such a blessing to us. So thank you, Jim and Kathy and all of the choir for being here. But Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you are asking." Amen.
Amen.
So in my last sermon, I told you stories. Do you remember about Jack and the beanstalk and the one about St. Francis, about empire and kingdom of heaven? We explored the role of stories in our lives and how they help us to heal ourselves and each other. Well, this week, I'm going to tell you a joke. And why do we tell jokes? Because, frankly, life can be absurd and confusing. And sometimes we can feel anxious, and jokes help us to connect around that absurdity, to lighten the anxiety, and yes, to find meaning in it all. And yes, laughter heals. So now, in all seriousness, I am a horrible joke teller. Just ask my husband. And telling a joke from the pulpit is very risky. So if this joke goes really badly, you can blame Rusty, because he told it to me, even though he denies it. And he's not here, which I think is probably why. So, okay, here goes. A man lays dying. I mean, really, all the good jokes start with lines like that, don't they? I mean, what a horrible opening line. There's nothing funny about a man... Okay, wait, okay, so this is why I'm a horrible joke teller. You see, I overexplain things. I start to analyze the joke rather than telling it, which I think just takes away all the fun. Okay, I'm doing it right now. Okay, so for real, here goes. A man lays dying, and he calls over to his bedside his two closest friends. The first is a well-known lawyer, and the second, a powerful politician. And he asks one to stand on his right and the other to stand on his left. As they did, they lean in closer to their dear friend, and with tears in their eyes, they say, "Yes, friend, what is it that you want from us?" And he said, "Nothing. I just wanted to be like Jesus and die between two criminals." That's a good one, Rusty. I mean, that's good. Proximity. Proximity. One on the right and one on the left. Now, today's gospel is no joke, but it is also all about proximity. Proximity to power and proximity to need, and where we as Christians are to be found in between. Proximity, nearness in space, time, and relationship. James and John came forward to Jesus and said, "We want you to give us whatever we ask of you." Really? I mean, come on, guys. Like, this seems an odd way to open an ask. I mean, I am no businesswoman, but even I know not to just go up to people and say, "Hey, give me whatever I ask of you." I mean, really, that's more like a stick-up than a request. But James and John are struggling. The disciples struggle. Remember, life can be absurd and difficult, and sometimes we feel anxious. They are struggling because Jesus has told them moments before, for the third time, that he will be killed by those in power in Jerusalem. I think this time they get it. I think this time they finally hear him. I think this time they know and I think that they are anxious. So really, I think stress has a lot to do with James and John's behavior in this moment in their stick-up of Jesus. In their anxiety and fear, James and John are grasping, clinging, fumbling around, not sure what to do next. And so they ask Jesus for proximity. But proximity to what exactly? They say, "Grant us to sit one at your right hand and one at your left in your glory." In your glory. This request by James and John leads Jesus to say, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with?" I often want to say something along those same lines to those who come to me seeking baptism, for themselves or for their children. I want to say to them, "Do you know what you are asking for?" The promises we make at baptism are also no joke. We promise to resist evil, to seek and serve Christ in all persons, all of them. We say we will strive for justice and peace, that we will respect the dignity of every human being, every human being. Do we really know what we are asking for in baptism? In making that covenant with each other and with God, in our promise to walk the way of love with Jesus and each other? I mean, what parent in their right mind would sign their kid up for a life of sacrifice and suffering, a life marked by always being last and walking with the poor and needy? But seek we do, and baptize we will, even if we don't know what we are asking for. Because somewhere deep down, we understand that in being baptized in the baptism of Jesus, we will actually get something in this life of baptism that we desperately need: proximity. In space, time, and relationship. And I believe James and John and the 10 knew it as well, which is why this request from the two disciples sparks an argument between the 10. It doesn't say exactly what the 10 are angry about, but the gospel does tell us how Jesus responds. Jesus responds to the anger of the 10 by saying, "You know that among the Gentiles, those whom they recognize as their rulers lord it over them, and the great ones are tyrants over them, but it is not so among you. You know," says Jesus, "those that seek proximity to earthly rulers and the great ones, to power, are controlled by them." Jesus is making a very clear point here, that those who seek to be close in space and time and relationship, in proximity to those with power on this earth, will be controlled by them, but that way of life will be oppressive. But Jesus says, "It is not so among you." Jesus says here that they are called to live differently, that they are going to seek proximity, relationship, not to the powerful, but to the needy. "But whoever wishes to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wishes to be first among you must be slave of all. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve." This may be the most radical statement in all of the Gospels. Radical because it subverts all notions about who we should seek relationship with. It subverts our idea of how we should seek power and security, or what we should do with that power and security we have in this world. This one pronouncement from Jesus turns everything upside down. And just in time, because in the very next chapter, Jesus goes into Jerusalem and his life is quickly coming to an end. When we think about that fact, even for a minute, it helps us to put this bold, radical statement by Jesus into context. This is his final and most crucial teaching. This teaching illuminates the greatest commandment to love God, self, and neighbor. And so in this teaching, he tells them how they should live the rest of their days on this earth. For them, Jesus says it will be different. And just like the disciples, we are being asked to live differently. It will not be so for us, Jesus says. We are called to serve, not to be served, to be last, to be slave of all, to be proximate, not to power, but to need, to baptism, to a life as the body of Christ. Do we know what we are asking for? Throughout Jesus's life, he was close to and built relationships with both the powerful elite and the poor and sick, because Jesus knew all people are in need of redemption, of God's grace, all people. And yet, no matter who Jesus sought to be proximate to be in relationship with, he did so to serve them all. Not to gain something from them, but to serve them, to love them. When Jesus draws his last breath, he hangs between two criminals, one on his right and one on his left. What an odd place for a king to die. And James and John are asking to be there beside him in his glory. They did not know what they were asking for. And the truth is, neither do we. We, people of baptism, do not know what we are asking for. When we seek this way of life in Jesus through baptism and being church. But God knows, somewhere deep down, that we are in desperate need of this covenant, this new way of living and loving. God knows that we too must subvert our understanding of who we are to seek relationship with, and how we understand power, and how we seek proximity to both, and how we are in relationship. We all come to baptism and to church for different reasons. And at the beginning of the journey, each of us is seeking something from this encounter and this engagement. And like James and John, that seeking may begin with self. We want you, the church, God, Jesus, to give us whatever we ask. But along the journey, when we truly walk it, there is transformation. In our seeking, in our living out the baptismal covenant, in our spiritual maturation and in relationship with God and each other, we grow, we change, and perhaps we find that our neediness or the neediness of others isn't something to fear at all. Perhaps we find that serving the needs of others changes us. Perhaps we discover that bringing our own deep needs to the church heals us. Perhaps we find that living out our baptismal covenant is the very thing that brings us closer to God. Proximity in space, time, and relationship. Grace, where are our opportunities to truly live out our baptism, to seek and serve for justice and peace, to resist evil and to repent? Where can we seek to be on the left and the right of those that struggle in this world? Where do we find ourselves in proximity to deep human need within ourselves? And beside those that suffer. How do we as Christians seek that proximity in such a way that glorifies God, where we seek not to be served, but to serve? This is a seeking that happens in these walls with each other and outside this building in the world all around us. We come here to be fed and to be healed so that we have the capacity to be servants to all in need. And so, yes, maybe we don't know what it is we are asking for. But if we commit and we stay in the journey together, we will discover that God knows what it is we need to grow closer to God. And maybe this is the good news. We don't have to know what we are asking for in baptism or coming to church every week, because God does know. And when we seek together those opportunities to serve, not to be served, when we seek proximity to the needs of others without fear but with great love, when we live out our baptism, we find transformation in the process. We too find in our deep need and the needs of others that we are, in fact, nearer to God and to our neighbor. So, Grace, let's keep asking, even when we aren't exactly sure what we are asking for. Let us put aside our fear or anxiety that leads us to seek power in this world and instead seek proximity found in relationship right now, right here in this time and space, with any who may have need of God's redeeming love. And then let us rest in the peace of being nearer to God in all God's glory. Amen.